We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Good. I haven't done that in a while. Good morning, Grinders. Right? It's been a while. It's been what, 10 days or so? Good morning, Grinders. There you go. You got it. You got full volume. Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter. And I'm back. I'm back from my cruise vacation. I'm back. I come back and I wake up and Kevin Durant is on the Phoenix Suns now. Okay. Stop. Kyrie Irving he's on the Mavericks. So imagine playing NBA DFS during the trade deadline. It's if the normal insanity isn't good enough for you, now you get extra insanity. But we're here Thursday, February 9th. Good morning to everyone in the chat. You know what we do here. You know, you email questions in, questions@theoryofdfs.com about DFS strategy. And this is unstructured learning on all the subjects that you would to make you a better DFS player, right? You could do so in a structured way by getting the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports 15-hour audio DFS masterclass. You can pick up at theoryofdfs.com, as well as the Advanced Players Guide, which comes with James McCool's custom Excel tools, which we do show off on this show. You combine these two courses, the Excel tools, as well as a RotoGrinder subscription and Lineup HQ with all the projections and the ownership and all the numbers that you need. There's no reason why you can't be a profitable DFS player. Will you make $1 million? That involves a lot of luck. But can you be profitable over the course of a year? Absolutely. So that's what we talk about on this show. Good morning to Wataz Suki Singh here early, the early birds, Bart B, Ryan Edwards, Kickstart. Ernie's Chipotle Education, which is kind of a weird name. Yes, I was live tweeting a cruise on my... Yeah, why not? I had Wi-Fi. We're taking pictures and everything. Look how much fun I'm having. Look at all the wrestling that's on the cruise. So you got that here. Devin's in the chat also, even though Steve's working behind the scenes on the show. Give me those thummy thumbs. You know how much I love those. If you appreciate that, I'm back, folks. Right? Give me an extra thumb. I don't think you can technically, because if you hit it again, it actually takes it away. So don't do that. Don't try to give extra thumbs. Just give one thumb. If you don't normally thummy thumb, then give me a thummy thumb. That I think that's a better way of putting it. But you could send in questions for the show. Obviously, you could talk all you want in the YouTube chat. I will answer anything in the YouTube chat. But if you have any questions pertaining to any topic related to DFS strategy, to playing DFS at any level, just email them in questions@theoryofdfs.com. I answer them all. I typically let some develop over time, and then once I see similar topics together, then I start covering it on the show. And hey, there's topics I'm going to be covering over and over again, right? This is unstructured learning. Today, I got a couple in. We have the Super Bowl this week, right? Obviously, Super Bowl! And no show on Monday also, because I'll be going down to Nashville. Roto Grinders is having finally, I mean, it's been like 3 years. They're the Super Bowl party, get together, whatever. So I'm driving down to Nashville on Saturday to be there Saturday, Sunday. I'll be driving home Monday, so can't do the show on Monday morning. But I'll be down there for the big game. Can we even say Super Bowl? We can't say, I don't think we could say Super Bowl. The big game. Are you ready for the big game? That's what all the commercials are. Not the Super. You have to be officially sponsored in order to say the word Super Bowl, I guess. I don't know. Are we going to get demonetized now? Are we going to be taken off of YouTube because we said the word Super Bowl? But that's what's happening over the weekend, the Super Bowl. So obviously large college single game showdown contest, right? We have all the stuff here in lineup HQ for you. So feel free to sign up for a combo premium package, right? Get NFL, get NBA, get MLB. That'll be back. They'll be back in what, 7 weeks or so, right? MLB will be back. MMA, PGA, get everything. College basketball. Whatever you want, just one price. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off the first month. But I got a question in about Super Bowl. A lot of casual money, a lot of casual money coming in on the Super Bowl, right? If you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, the single game stuff, right? Oh, there may be a lot more casual, you know, dead money. They don't know how to play DFS. Should I be upping my stakes? Should I be playing more? Should I be playing more, like from a bankroll management perspective? Should I be playing more? And it really comes down to edge, right? You can never answer that question without one, what your bankroll is, and two, what is your edge? The most thing is what is your edge? Now, in fixed odds betting or any type of fixed odds scenario, you can calculate that pretty well. Right, what your edge is. A coin flip, like, it's a distinct probability that is easy to compute. DFS, those probabilities are not easy to compute, right? There's a lot of variance in what those probabilities even are, right? So like a six-sided die roll, right? 1/6 of the time, it'll come up on 2 or 4 or something. It's never going to change, right? It's not like, well, some rolls, you have a 2% chance of a 6, but on other rolls, you have a 26% chance of a 6. Like, it doesn't work like that in dice or in card games or things like that. In sports, you know, we have projections. We have a range of outcomes, but it's, you know, we have like Jalen Hurts, right? Median 25, which means 50% of the time it'll be higher, 50% of the time it'll be lower, right? 85% of the time over 16, 15% of the time over 35. But I mean, that these aren't like, this isn't an R of one, right? There's just a projection. It's not perfectly accurate. And then on top of it, you don't know what other lineups your opponents are going to be playing, right? So what is your edge in a large field Super Bowl, single game showdown on DraftKings? What is your edge on a 10-man double up, right? 50-50 or something. That'll all depend, like, that'll be widely variant depending on who you're playing, right? Head-to-heads, probably the easiest thing. Like, what is your edge in head-to-heads? Well, it depends on the opponent, right? Much different playing a head-to-head against me than playing a head-to-head against some guy that, I don't know, deposited $20 on DraftKings and shows your $5 head-to-head or something out of the blue. Like, how good could that person be playing a good median lineup? What is your edge over that person? So the edge matters. How you calculate edge will determine how much bankroll you should allocate, could allocate to whatever slate, whatever sport. Some sports you may be better at others. Some slates you may be better. I'm good at playing smaller slates. I'm bad at playing larger slates. I'm good at playing hockey on these types of slates and not as much on those types of slates. I'm great at the afternoon, the small NFL slate, the large baseball slates, but not the small one. Like, it all depends on how you play. So when you ask a question like, how much bankroll should I, like, that's all going to be related to how you play. So what I do doesn't matter, right? What I do, play in soccer cash games, play 5% of your bankroll. Like, would I suggest that for other people? No, absolutely not. That's what I would play up to, 5% of my bankroll. It's very hard to get good action, 5% of my bankroll, right? It's hard in soccer, right? You'd have to play Saramek and Pugh, and I don't want to play. I don't have any edge over those guys, right? But I would, if you told me there was enough action in soccer, cash games, I would play 5% of my bankroll. Yeah, but you'd go like, well, I don't play soccer DFS. You're right. You shouldn't be playing 5% of your bankroll in soccer cash games on DraftKings, right? I've been playing them for 7.5 years, right? I'm good at them. So I make money on them. I'm profitable. So you shouldn't be doing, maybe you shouldn't be playing at all. Maybe you should own 1% of your bankroll on soccer head-to-heads. And then at that point, even against certain people, you shouldn't even be playing those. So yeah, you could play 1% of your bankroll on that, but you avoid these 10 players. The next thing you know, there's no one else to play in the lobby, right? So it's hard to even play 1% of your bankroll in good action. So that all depends on your edge. And that's why we have a thing called the Kelly criterion, right? It's a concept in math and gambling, right? What it is, I mean, you can even go to kellycriterioncalculator.com. It'll even explain it. You even has this little video, right? What is the Kelly criterion? The Kelly criterion is a method by which you can use you can use your assessed probability of an event occurring in conjunction with the odds for the event and your bankroll to work out how much to wager on the event to maximize your value. By inputting the odds, the probability of event occurring, and your betting balance, you'll be able to determine the amount you should wager on the event. The fractional Kelly betting input is a way to change how aggressive or conservative you are with your wagering. Ultimately, the Kelly criterion calculator, if you are accurate, this is the key. If you are accurate with your assessed probability, should increase your value and profit over a long-term period. So this is the way, how much should you bet based on the probability, the assessed probability that is accurate, that your risk of ruin is small. Is low, is zero, right? So for instance, let's say you had $1,000 account, your bankroll. We're not even calling it a betting account balance, just $1,000 bankroll. And you were playing head-to-heads, which based on the rake at most levels, unless you play in the higher stakes, is going to be minus 125, 1.8 to 1, right? That's what you're getting paid, 1.8 to 1. If you figure to win 60% of the time, Kelly formula would say that you should wager 10% of your bankroll on that. Okay? Because the expected value of this wager is approximately $8, which equates to an 8% return on the funds wagered. 60% probability. Now, a lot of times when you're playing good cash games, maybe. Like, if you have a 55% chance of winning in this, you shouldn't bet anything at all. It'll tell you zero, right? Because you have to win more than 55% of the time in head-to-heads, right? So let's say 56% probability. If you have a very, very, very small edge in cash games that you could beat the rake and just get a little bit more, you should be 1% of your bankroll, right? So $10 on $1,000. Let's say you have a 57% probability. So like a plus 2% edge, right? 3.25% of your bankroll. Let's say you have a 58% win rate in head-to-heads. 5.5% of your bankroll. And that, now this is very aggressive, okay? Understand that the best cash players in the world, like people say, oh, well, I have a 65% win rate in head-to-heads. Like, you don't have a large enough sample size. Or you're playing way low stakes, or you're really, really bum hunting, right? If you had a 65% win rate in head-to-heads, I mean, it would say, you know, you should wager 20. This is per slate, I guess, 21.25% per slate, right? Obviously, if you lose, you know, what, $210 out of 1,000? Like now your account goes down to, now your account balance goes down to 790. And then you do 21% of that. And that's very aggressive because this, remember, this assumes that you could, your probability right here is 100% accurate, that there's no variance involved, right? But that's not the case. In certain sports, like you couldn't do this and go, well, when I play cash games and head-to-heads, I have a 58.5%, you know, win rate. Well, is it better in basketball than it is in baseball? Is it better in soccer than it is MMA? It's like, it depends. The type of slate. Oh, on a short slate, my head-to-head win rate is lower than on a large. Okay, well, these are the variables that you have to consider on what is your edge. So just simply going into RotoTracker and go like, oh, what's my head-to-head win rate? Right? What's my ITM in head-to-heads? Oh, it's 59. Okay, it's 59 overall. Not realizing that in NBA, maybe it's much lower. Maybe it's only 56. Maybe in MMA, it's 62. Who knows? But how big of a sample size do you have for that? Maybe you only have 40 slates. That isn't that much. So you can see here that, and this is the aggressive stance. This is assuming your probability is 100%. Your edge is 100% accurate. In DFS, I can't possibly think that you could be 100% accurate with your edge. So if anything, I'm going to go like half Kelly, right? If anything, and even this, I think, is a little aggressive, right? So now it's going to be half Kelly. So, like, let's say you had a 58% head-to-head win rate, which is achievable, right? And you had a $1,000 bankroll. How much should you be playing, like, on tonight's NBA slate? Let's say you had, in over a long period of time, your head-to-head on a slate of whatever this size, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? A four-game slate. You're like, oh, my ITM is 58%, large sample size. It's like, I have you may have more than, you should have more than $1,000 in your bankroll. Let's say you have $10,000 in your bankroll. How much should you be wagering? Five, okay. After applying the fractional Kelly value, so 2.75%, so $275 on today's slate across all of your head-to-heads to reduce the variance. So 2.75%. Now, the higher, let's say you have a 60% win rate. Well, now you could have much higher percentage of your bankroll. 5%. If it's very small, 56, right now you're talking about 0.5% of your bankroll. That's it, 0.5% of your bankroll. Right? If you want to get even more conservative and do quarter Kelly, right? Let's say you had a 58% win rate. Head-to-head, you had $10,000 bankroll, 1.37%, right? The reason why you do fractional Kelly is because, like, I could do full Kelly if it's like a coin flip, if it's a dice roll, if it's picking a card out of a deck. Those are fixed probabilities. The probabilities are 100% accurate, right? You're going to give me, 52 cards in a deck, and you're like, okay, I'm going to fan them out, and you have to pick out the ace of spades. And I'm going to pay you 70 to 1, right? Well, it's 52 to 1 to pick, right, the ace of spades, and I'm getting paid 70 to 1. So that's plus EV. Okay, so how much? 70 divided by 52, right? So I'm getting, there's an edge there, right? Depending on how my bankroll is, then I should be, I don't mind doing one full Kelly. right? My risk of ruin should be next to zero. The 52-1, if you're going to tell me that I don't know how many cards they're going to be in the deck, right? Well, maybe we go double deck. Maybe I remove some aces. Your probability of like, 52-1 to pick out the ace of spades may not be 52-1. But because it's fixed probabilities on one deck of cards, your accuracy on your edge is 100%. Is 1R. DFS doesn't work that way. You could have 5 years worth of data and the results, and still remember what I've said. Someone could have played every slate ever created in the history of daily fantasy sports. Every single slate ever made. Going back to 2011 or something? They were on Draft Street. They're playing on funded Fantasy Aces or whatever, Star Street, whatever used to exist. They play on DraftKings, FanDuel. They play Fantasy Draft. That went out of business, right? They played on everything. Every slate, every sport, everywhere. Turbo Slate, Tier Slate. They're playing showdowns and everything. They do everything. Play every slate, and they max it out. It's still possible, even after doing that, that it's not a large enough sample size that your ROI, your result ROI, is still not within one standard deviation of your true ROI. That's how much variance there is in DFS. So when you're looking at, in 5 years, sample size, this is my ROI in these GPPs or something like that. Dude, you could simulate out the exact lineups the exact way that you played the entire time. And there's going to be 30% of the time you actually went broke, right? You just happen to be on this dimension, right? This trail of, you won here and then you were able to play this and then, okay, now you have $170,000, right? Well, 30% of the time you lost all your money within the first year playing, right? Maybe 40% of the time you only have 20,000 now. I mean, that's how much variance there is in DFS. So when using the Kelly criterion, that's the reason why, even if you want to have to use some type of equation like this, I would be very conservative with it because these probabilities are highly variant. The concept is still true. You should be thinking of bankroll management in these terms of what is my edge? Right? What is my edge? How much is my edge? What is the variance of these types of slates, whatever you're playing? Then how much am I willing to risk on that? And the bigger your edge, the more you should be willing to risk. So we have a Super Bowl contest coming up. Who knows? Maybe the Super Bowl cash games, right? Maybe you could find a lot of dead money, casual money in the cash games. You're going to find them tons in the large field GPP, but realizing that EV is ridiculous. It's essentially a winner-take-all type of contest. So how much variance is it? You could have tons of edge. The variance is so high that you need a very large bankroll to play that often, but on a one-time occurrence? Right, if you were like, I'm going to play $500 on the Super Bowl slate when I normally would play $100. That's probably fine. If your bankroll is $10,000, $20,000, something like that. If your bankroll was only $1,000, probably playing half of your bankroll on a super one-game showdown Super Bowl slate is probably, but your risk of ruin is going to be practically 100% if you did that all the time. But how much edge do you have on a Super Bowl slate? Let's say it's easy to talk about edge when it comes to cash games, when it comes to double-ups and head-to-heads. Much more binary. There aren't isn't a payout structure where you can come in, I can min cash, I get 3x, I can do all that type of stuff. Most of the equity is in the top spots. But on a single game showdown slate, how many mistakes can you make? As long as someone spends $50,000 in salary, can you really have that big of an edge off of just a rando cash, head-to-head? If this was a 13-game NFL Classic slate, a lot more choices to make. Someone could use all 50,000 in salary and have a lineup that projects 15 points lower than yours and still spend all of their salary. It's hard to do that in showdown. There's only so many options. Now, obviously, if you're playing someone in head-to-heads that's going to leave 20K on the table, then go. Take their games. So even though you could be like, oh, I'm great at showdown cash games. Okay, you could be profitable, but how much of an edge can you have over other people in showdown cash? It's typically a construction type of thing. I can't see anyone, even against the worst players, having more than what? 62% maybe? 62% win rate type of thing, ITM? So if that's the case, I mean, like, okay, 14% of your bankroll. If you're doing standard Kelly, which I think is way too aggressive, right? 7.25% of your bankroll. So let's say you had $100,000 bankroll. You'd be like, okay, I'm going to play $7,200 on the Super Bowl. If you could find action that you have a 62% advantage over, right? Can you find $7,200 worth of volume that you have a 62% advantage over? Probably not. Because you're going to have to play McLovin or BK Reader or, you know, Chipotle Addict or, you know, Loves Bases or whoever. That would be more like baseball. Like, you're not going to find enough volume for that with $100,000 or something like that. But this is how you should be thinking. What is your edge? Whatever and most of the time, whatever you think your edge is, you're inflating it too much, right? Either you're looking at Roto Tracker and, well, I've played 22 slates. It's like 22 slates. You might as well play none. Over 22 slates, I have a 78% win rate. Good luck with that. Good luck going broke. Basing your entire bankroll management on 22 slates. Right, that's nowhere near the sample size. Well, then people ask, how much sample size do you need? I'm going to tell you how much sample size you need. 700,000 slates. And then you're going to go, I just made up a large number right there. And then you go, well, I'm never going to get to that. I go, exactly. That's the point that I'm making. So how about after 500 slates? I'm like, well, 500 slates is still better than 22 slates. 40 slates is better than 22 slates. And you know what? 80 slates is better than 40 slates. 150 slates is better than 80 slates also. Like, you want the larger the number gets, the closer and closer your actual ROI and your true ROI will get together. But like I've said, within one standard deviation, you could play every slate in the history of DFS and not be in that range. You could have. Okay? The concept is not like, well, how many slates do I need? Like, you shouldn't be thinking in those terms. You should never be thinking in those terms of how many. Remember the two core things of DFS questions. If you can answer with a yes or a no, stupid question. If you can answer with an exact number, stupid question. Okay? There's no exact number. The largest you can. I've played 1 million slates. You know what would be more accurate? 1,000,001 slates. So it doesn't matter. At what point do you? Well, you got to base it on something. If you played 50 cash slates and you played cash games and you lost 49 of them, you're horrible. I mean, like, you're horrible, horrible. You got to base it on something. That isn't variance. Okay. Now, if you played 50 GPP slates and you lost on 49 of them, you could still be the greatest player ever. The variance in GPPs is that high that 49 losing 49 slates in a row. That isn't unheard of at all, right? Cash games, you'd be in trouble. So you want the largest sample size possible. And even at the largest sample size, that the margin of error on your edge could still be wild. Right? You could play. I played 500 NBA slates, and my head-to-head win rate is 59%. And, well, the margin of error on that is probably 6%. Right? 3% in each direction. Okay? It's probably the margin of error, right? So you look at your 59%, right? So let's say you had Let's say you have a nice $50,000 bankroll, right? You're doing half Kelly, and you think you have a 59% ITM rate in NBA head-to-heads, right? It would tell you that, okay, 3.87% of your bankroll. That's $1,937.50 or whatever. That you should be on this current coming slate, coming up or whatever. Well, what happens if you're wrong? What happens if you plus or minus, once you go down to plus or minus three, like you're wrong and you only have a 56% true ROI?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You should only be wagering $250 out of that. Only 0.5%. The difference between 0.5% of your bankroll and 3.87% of your bankroll is humongous. So if it turns out that you just, even though you play 500 slates, you've leaned more times towards the side of having some good luck, even though your true ROI is more like 56%, which is still profitable. By doing half Kelly of a 59% edge, you may end up going broke. And you're like, but I'm using Kelly. How did I go broke? Yeah, because it assumes an accurate assessed probability of winning, which in DFS is nearly impossible to have 100% accurate. So now you understand why, like, my nittiness when it comes to bankroll management. Like, I've talked to people in the past that is like, oh, I play cash games and do 10% of my bankroll. You know who I haven't talked to in a while? Those people. I talked to those people 3 or 4 years ago. I don't hear from them much anymore. I don't see them in the lobby. Well, I just do 10% of my bankroll because I have 58 to 60% win rate. I'm like, oh, good luck with that. Good luck with your 10% of your bankroll, right? Oh, well, I have $300,000. I'm playing $30,000. Like, how do you have a 58% win rate in order to get $30,000 of volume down? Understand the volume dynamics. Like, if you if If you wanted to do, truthfully, if you had a $500 bankroll and you were able to pick off like $1 head-to-heads against schmucks, your win rate could be 68%, right? But at a certain point, you're not going to be able to find the dollar schmucks anymore. So if you have a $3,000 bankroll and like $30,000 a slate, you ain't filling that up with $5 head-to-heads against the randos, right? You're going to be playing the highest stakes players in the lobby. You really think you have a 4% edge over them? No, you don't. 4% edge, and that's past the rake. I guarantee you don't. So unless you can find 10K head-to-heads against randos, like how do you fill up that amount of volume anyway? But these are the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to bankroll management, even in GPPs, where the variance is absurd. How much of my bankroll should I be playing? When I give numbers and people think that I'm nuts, this is the reason. I'm showing you the math. That if I have a 300,000, 1, 2, 3 bankroll, right? And I have a small edge, right? Let's just say 56%, 57%, right? Past the rake. And I'm doing quarter Kelly, right? How much should I be wagering? 0.81%, $2,437, which is pretty much what I do. I mean, this is, I'm showing you exactly. Bankroll. This would be for cash games, for, you know, the 1.8 to 1, that's, you know, 1.8 decimal odds, minus 125, you know, American odds, which accounts for the rake. With a small edge. Right now the first, you know, maybe $300 of the 2437, I may have a 68% probability of winning because those are the schmucks. But once I start getting into the thousands, I'm going to have to play people that maybe I do have an edge over, but not much of an edge past the rake. Right. So let's say if it's at 58%, still now we're at 1.37%. If you're using quarter Kelly. Why am I using quarter Kelly? Because these probabilities are so, the margin of error on this could be 3 or 4% in each direction. And if it's 4% in the wrong direction, it'll tell me to wager nothing because it's actually, I'm not going to be profitable. I shouldn't be betting anything. No volume whatsoever. So I'd rather lean on the conservative side. If I'm looking to, you know, do this professionally, do it as an income generator. Yeah, if I have a 60% chance of winning, 2.5% of my, you're right, sure, $7,500 on the slate with a $300,000 bankroll. And remember, bankroll is a nebulous term. So many people come to me and go, like, I have a $1,000 bankroll. I said, you don't have I'm telling you, you don't have a $1,000 bankroll. So what do you mean? I have a $1,000 on DraftKings. It's like that, what you have on DraftKings doesn't matter, right? You can take money on and off and do whatever the hell you want with it. So you don't have a $1,000 bankroll. I said, well, I deposited $1,000, so that's $1,000. No, that doesn't mean that either. I said, you probably have like a $25,000 bankroll. And they say to me, it's like, well, I don't have $25,000. Like, they physically don't have $25,000. I go, if you lost $1,000 in your account next week, would you stop playing DFS? And they go, no. I said, so what would you do? He said, well, I'd probably deposit another $500. I said, okay, so now you're telling me you have a $1,500 bankroll then, right? If you're going to put $500 more, okay. What happens if you lose that a month later? What are you going to do? I said, I'll probably put in another $1,000, right? I said, oh, I'm like, where are you getting this money from? It's like, well, I have a job. I have whatever, you know, they have a nice six-figure job or something like that. I go, okay, so you'll put more, so you put another $1,000 on a month later, right? Okay, so now you're talking about a $2,500 bankroll. At what point over the course of a year or two would you stop putting money in that you wouldn't be able to afford? You would just say, I'm done with DFS. Add all those up. I deposited this, and maybe it comes out to $20,000. So that's your bankroll. At the low levels, I have $1,000 in my account. Like, can you replenish it? Yes. Okay. So $1,000 isn't your bankroll. It's whatever money you have set aside that when it goes to zero, you no longer play daily fantasy sports ever again. Okay? That would technically be what your bankroll is. And as it gets higher, your risk of ruin, the priority that, in my opinion, it depends on your goals, the more that you should manage risk goes up. The more you should manage risk goes up. Only because you can't replenish it as easily. Yeah, if you have a $2 million a year job, sure, yeah, maybe you can. So if you have a $1,000 quote bankroll that you can replenish, I don't think it's ridiculous to, oh, I'm gonna play 10%, 15% of my bankroll on a slate. Yeah, you're most likely gonna lose the $1,000, right? But you can replenish it. Like that $1,000 isn't your bankroll anymore. When you get up to a $300,000 bankroll, saying I'm going to play $30,000 on a slate, and let's say you do Harlan minus 98%, like how easy it is to replenish $28,000 of your bankroll? Not easy at all, right? So maybe you don't want to play 10% per slate when you have that big of a bankroll, especially when your edge is going to go way down. Because in order to get $30,000 of volume, you're going to have to play against better players. Right? You're not playing $100 a slate where you can pick out the exact $100 that you want to spend. That's why I suggest when you have small bankrolls, be extremely picky in what you play. Extremely picky. Like, God, just you could have insane ROIs if you just contest select. You're playing $50 a slate, dude. You should be able to get $50 in with 70%+ edge. No problem. No problem. You just have to do the work. Scour the lobby. Play. Find the edges. I'm going to play this head-to-head. I'm going to play that triple up. I'm going to play this exact three-man. Right? And you're going to play multiple lineups because you're going to play them differently against different opponents. Right? If you want to do that work, that type of work, there's no reason why you shouldn't have an insane ROI. At that low limit. Now, how much real money can you make from that? Not much, right? You're still making you're making minimum wage at that point, right? But as you move up in levels and as you get better and better, that'll amount to more and more raw money. But to be able to get $30,000 down against the worst opponents, there just aren't enough for you. You're going to have to beat good players at that point. My attitude is, why bother? I'll just place less percentage of my bankroll and just play the best $2,000 or $3,000 I can. That's what I do. But you can see here, based on the math, if you go to KellyCriterionCalculator.com and you play around with this, there are others. You could Google Kelly Criterion Calculator. There's tons of them. I mean, this is not like some niche type of mathematical concept. This is like one of the core concepts, fundamental concepts of any type of sports betting or any type of wagering of any type. Kelly Criterion is covered in the Theory of Daily Fantasy course, right? But this is, if you want to do sports betting, prop betting, DFS, any type of wagering, this when it comes to bankroll management, this is Kelly Criterion. That's the concept you would be using. Is it the type of thing where I'm going to this every day going, well, my bankroll is $267,442. And my edge on this small NBA slate, I think, is 57.2, right? And then it comes out that I should be wagering $1,874. Like, and I that's exactly what I'm, no. Doesn't have to be exact. Just conceptualize this. How big of an edge do I have? On smaller slates, I have less of an edge. Okay, well, anyone would have less of an edge in cash games. Understand that. Why? People ask me sometimes, like, why aren't you playing like the short? Oh, there's an MLB slate. You're a three-game MLB slate, afternoon slate, or something like that. So, no, I'm not playing it. You go, why not? I said, if I'm playing triple ups or head-to-heads or anything like that, like, there's not as much edge. There's only so many choices you can make. 10-game slate, yeah, then and I'm playing. Because even against the worst opponents, on a 2 or 3 game slate, as long as you spend all your salary, I mean, how do you have an edge? How do you have enough of an edge past the rake over someone? 10%, 11% rake? It's nearly impossible. So that's why I don't play those. So do you have any questions about the Kelly criterion? Sometimes it's called the Kelly formula. Post them in the YouTube chat. Give me those thummy thumbs. I need to get more thummy thumbs. Devin's in here planning. I don't think Dean is staying at Devin's. No. Devin's not bringing cats either. Let's see. Anything in the YouTube chat? Mike Ostry is here. Good morning. Giant Valdez, good morning. If you have any questions about bankroll management as a whole, post them in the YouTube chat. You could always email your questions in. You see it scrolling on the bottom. Questions@theoryofdfs.com. Since I did get a question about, it's Super Bowl week. Super Bowl week, should I up my volume type of thing? Should I up, is the edge going to be a lot of casual money? Sure. In comparison to your edge. I mean, depends on the contest deep. It depends on your edge, not mine. And also your tolerance for risk. Some people, it's like, oh yeah, full Kelly. I don't care. I'm trying to maximize. If I go broke, if I have a 10, 15% chance of going broke, I'm willing to risk it for the biscuit. Some people are like, I want the risk of ruin to be 1%. That's me. So it's like, in order to have that low risk of ruin, you're going to be wagering less money per slate. But there are some sports where I don't mind. Like, dude, I play a much higher percentage when it comes to MMA, when it comes to NFL, than when it comes to, like, when MLB season comes around. Then when it, even soccer, it's more to do with the fact that I just can't get good action to begin with. Yeah, I could play 20,000 a slate in soccer. Like if there was action, I could. Now, if I want to play 10K head-to-heads against Red Code and Saramac, I can also. But what's my edge there? If I put that in the Kelly calculator, my edge is nothing. I mean, it's under 55%. Probably under 50%. Probably they're slightly better than me. And then we both lose to the rake. So what's the point of playing $20,000 in soccer? You can't. I can't find. It's not just like, oh, my edge in a sport. It's like, well, my edge in these types of contests on this type of slate against these types of opponents. Against the other better players in the soccer lobby, I don't play head-to-heads against. Some of the ones I even do, sometimes I probably shouldn't even be playing. Sometimes the head-to-head lobby, it's like you look and there's no one to take. Either you're blocking people, or it's like, okay, yeah, they're not as good as Saramek, but they're still not bad. Sometimes I take them anyway, so it's like it's hard to get that amount of volume at that edge. Just like what I said before, that's why I said the smaller the bankroll, the more picky you should be. If you're looking to do this for profit, if you're looking to play for entertainment, do whatever the hell you want. How much should I be playing? I have a job, whatever, and I have no care about having this being a supplementary income stream and having to rely on it or something. Like, dude, deposit money and have fun. Play 50% of your bankroll, your quote bankroll that you're replenishing anyway. Do whatever you want. The Kelly criterion assumes that this is all the money you have in the world for this purpose. And once you go to zero, you never play again. Like that's what it's based on. And based on an accurate assessment of your probability, which in DFS is impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. And even with a very large sample size, the margin of error is still very large. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow. We're not going to do MMA tomorrow. So the lead to Steve's here. So keep it as the orange thumbnail, because I'm going to be driving to Nashville tomorrow. I'm not going to have time to play the MMA slate. I know it's a Volkanovski versus Islam Makhachev. That should be good. Maybe I'll watch it. We'll find somewhere in Nashville. Probably Devin has to point, tell us, or someone. Where can we watch UFC in Nashville Saturday night? I'll probably watch it. But as far as playing the slate, I'll be driving. I think I'll be driving or something like that. I won't be able to play. And my policy is, if I ain't playing a slate, I can't really give advice about it. All right, so we're not going to do MMA tomorrow. We'll do more of this. Send in your questions. Questions at theoryofdfs.com. Hit that thumbs up button, the thummy thumbs. If you got something out of it, if you didn't get something out of it, if you're just passing on by, hit the thummy thumbs. You know how much I like those. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live in the morning, which this month is going to be it's going to be a weird schedule this month, right? Because we got NBA All-Star break. We got some breaks in the action. So it won't be every Monday through Friday, but next week it should be. Next week should be the whole week. Well, other than Monday, right? Because I'm driving back from Nashville on Monday. And then we have an All-Star break, so I'll be off for like 3 days or something like that. And then we'll be back. And then once March comes back, it'll pretty much be, you know, 3 months of straight shooting. I'll be going to Las Vegas at the end of May. But outside of that, should be straight shooting, answering your DFS strategy questions like I always do here. Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern. On the DFS pregame show on RotoGrinders.com.